Welcome to the GBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. Today, I'm your host, Jess Baker, and co-hosting with me is the delightful Roxanne. How are you?
Hey, really good, Jess.
Good, good. Nice to have you on the other side of the mic.
I'm happy to be here.
I don't miss Matt, I'm not going to lie.
No.
Unfortunately, he's coming in as the preacher,
that's
so we
okay.
can't get rid of him completely.
No, we
can't. What's new with you?
Oh, not a lot. Just trying to keep warm, mate. Oh. We have a fire at home, and it's about the time where I sort of do that phone call and say, bring me the firewood.
Mm-hmm.
And
delightful.
Then all our children must stack it into, like, you know, cords of wood outside the house. We're basically farmers, what can I say?
Living off the land. Appropriate for this sermon series. It's been very agricultural based.
Yeah,
we whipped out our blow heater last night. You know how it smells real rank
when
you first get out? Like you're just burning dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was our experience.
Not the nice fire that I've got going on at home.
Yeah, no, I wish we had that.
Come round.
Yeah, I will. I will. I'll definitely be there. Alrighty, beautiful. Well, for those of you who missed it, Matt Willis, our associate pastor or fake senior pastor, while Mark's on leave, preached this weekend during our Sunday services, wrapping up our series, The Kingdom of Heaven is Like... where we'll be focusing on the parables of Jesus found in Matthew chapter 13 and what they revealed of God's kingdom. Matt spoke of the parable of the net and how Jesus uses this illustration to draw some key kingdom conclusions. You can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast. And so today in the Big Three, we're going to keep the conversation going from Sunday's message. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Matt, but Roxy and I will be putting the Big Three questions to him as we dive deeper into the invitation for this week's sermon. But for now, Rox, what stood out to you about Matt's message?
Oh, this is a goodie.
Anything good?
Anything good? Oh, anything. Yeah. There's a bit. Draw it like a net, bringing the fish in.
Very nice.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love a bit of alliteration. I don't know if you've ever known that
about me.
I have not. Never
it's unusual.
Yeah, yeah, I know. So there was the reach of the kingdom, the rule of the king, and the role of the people.
Classic.
Love it.
And great to hear that Jesus also loves a three-point
sermon. I know. Yes, exactly.
And clearly you two do as well with your alliteration
absolutely.
And 3 points. Yep, very good.
Yeah, anything that keep it in my brain, honestly. Yes. Point.
True.
Like I really loved that whole reach of the kingdom, you know, that in the net, you know, there's all the different kinds of fish that Jesus talks about and Matt's challenge that, you know, this kingdom is so expansive that, you know, everybody is welcome, everyone's gathered in, you know, all doesn't matter whether you're a fisher or lobster or whatever you are, you know, you're being drawn in, you're welcome into the kingdom.
Yeah.
That was good for me. What about yourself?
I think it's really important for us to be reminded of our role, which is to be kind of hungry for the message and for Jesus and to learn more. But our role isn't to be that judge.
Yeah.
I mean, this passage is the classic, like, triggering passage, right, with the gnashing of the teeth.
Yeah, and the weeping.
No one wants to hear that little passage. We could skip over that part. That would be nice. But that's not our role, is to be the judge, and our role is to just be kind of hungry for more, which I think is an important reminder.
Yes, so good.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Alrighty, beautiful. Well, I think it's time to start looking at the big three questions submitted through Slido. So, Rox, what are the questions we have lined up?
Oh, I got some crackers. The first one is, what are the factors that prevent the kingdom reach stretching across divisions?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that one, you know.
The net's getting snagged.
Yeah. What's snagging the net, you know?
Yeah.
What's the giant trench in the middle of the ocean?
The ocean terrifies me.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about that.
If you know, write
in the comments. No, thank you.
That bit. Mariana Trench, something like that.
Mariana, isn't that a sauce? Or marinara?
Yeah, marinara is a sauce. Someone will tell us. Someone's listening to this going, these people do not know the
name
of
my mind's in pasta 24/7. Question two.
Question two. We're doing great. The second one is, how do we avoid assuming the role of divine judge, but how do we still hold others accountable?
It's a fine line.
Ooh, Matt, will we hit
How do we not be the Karen in the church?
Yeah.
Not the literal Karen.
Yeah.
Sorry, if your name's Karen and you're in the
exactly,
church.
But
the metaphorical Karen.
The metaphorical Karen. What's the male version of a Karen?
It's like Carrot.
Karen. Derek? I don't know.
Derek. Yeah, I reckon.
Surely.
I reckon Derek's a Karen. Sorry, Derek.
We love you too.
We'll just smash you down. Question three.
Let's keep going. Otherwise, we're going to get sacked. Where do we need to be looking for the new mysteries that are hidden within our everyday lives?
Yeah, nice. Ooh. Very good. All right, well, we can't answer these ourselves. No. We need someone else, and that person is Matthew Willis. It Welcome. Can you believe we went on more tangents?
Oh, my days. I was like, when are we ever going to get there?
We're not.
Like, yeah, pasta. I mean, like, I know you love a good carb, Jess, but, like, seriously.
I love a good carb.
Who doesn't?
I love it. Have you been?
Hold up. Can I just, like... Karen Watkins and Derek Mullins are probably the two most godly people in our church.
Shout out to them.
It's unfortunate that they're named what they are.
I felt for them in that moment. I was like, I see you guys and you matter.
We love you.
Well, hopefully they don't listen to the podcast. That's the thing.
I know that they do.
They're so godly.
Oh, yeah, bless them.
We apologize. I did apologize.
We love them. Yeah. We love them.
How have you been?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. Rox and I are pretending to be senior pastors, mm-hmm. which is a vibe.
Yep. Doing a fabulous job.
Thank you. I mean, you need to say that because you're on the air.
I do. We'll say something different to you afterwards. We have some notes.
She's actually looking at a phone calling up the notes as we speak. So.
Here they are. No, very good.
That's been fun. It's been full on. We're also renovating a house at the moment.
Delightful.
Just not together. You are renovating your house.
Yes, with my wife and I, Samantha, are renovating our house. So, like, it's been a full on month.
That does sound full on.
And college has wrapped up for me recently as well. So I had a lot of work to do there. So it's been busy. It's been full. But here we are.
You're not in the fetal position. We're not.
I'd like to say that we're not just surviving, that we're thriving.
Very nice.
But talk to me in a week.
But still pray for us because we are surviving on your prayers. So I'm pretty sure.
It's a knife's edge.
Could go either way.
TBC.
This podcast won't be the clencher that breaks. all right, guys, let's jump into the big three.
Let's do it.
So in question one, Matt, the parable talks about this net that gets cast out and all these different sea creatures get caught up in it. And immediately I'm triggered by the state of the world, and I think bycatch. We've got some turtles in there, some dolphins we don't want. And that we're just destroying and killing. But it's not like
You've misinterpreted.
It's a good kind of bycatch.
You're watching too many Netflix documentaries.
It's a good kind of bycatch. And we want that to happen, but it doesn't necessarily happen in the church. The net's getting snagged, like we said before. Yeah. Some, you know, we're all about sticking in your lane and not kind of venturing out. Mm. Lots of things divide us. So what are the factors that prevent the kingdom reach stretching across divisions? We want that bycatch.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
What's preventing us?
This is a sustainable bycatch.
Yeah, like, it's okay. No dolphins were harmed in the making of this podcast.
I think we need to consider where divisions occur, and I think they occur both internally and externally. Because as much as my message kind of focused on how we kind of function, like, as a human race, like, it's, there's something innate in us that likes to structure our lives into really clear, succinct boxes, because it helps us feel in control. It helps us feel comfortable. It helps us kind of know what to expect. And I get that. And hey, when you're planning your day, like, there's probably power in that. Obviously though, it transcends into bigger issues, and I think we see the divisiveness of humanity regularly, like every day. It's just people drawing lines in the sand and kind of saying you cannot cross, and the hurt and harm that creates for us as people is huge. And so obviously that was a big part of what I was talking about, that the kingdom of heaven kind of, you know, it's bigger than what humanity kind of compartmentalizes. And so it reaches beyond that and kind of draws from all types of people, all types of experiences, all types of perspectives. But there's also, there's an internal division that I think we also need to talk about. And I think this falls into the second point of my message about the rule of the king. And that divine judgment and when we assume that role, I think that has huge implications for divisions both internally and externally. When we When we kind of internalize the guilt and the shame that can come from unhelpful correction, then we divide ourselves. I think we can carry that burden, and it can become the narrative, the internal monologue that kind of says you know you're not worthy, you're not welcome, and you're not one of the good fish, so to speak. And sometimes we can do that to ourselves, and that's a spiral that can kind of get out of control really quickly. Like I know for myself, like, you know, I'd internalized a lot of these kinds of black and white mentalities when it came to faith and insider and outsider kind of language. And it really, I remember in the early years of my faith, it really impacted my ability to meet with God.
Yeah.
Because I just carried a lot of that, and all I saw were the things that divided me. You know, I saw my sin, I saw my shortcomings, I saw my lack of knowledge, my lack of experience when it came to things of faith. And I gave those things greater power than God himself. And I actually think that that's where an internal division can become really harmful to us, is where we actually, like, don't get me wrong, sin is a problem. Sin is a huge problem. And this isn't me kind of saying, hey, don't worry about it. Because, you know, Paul writes in Romans, you know, do we keep sinning so that grace can increase? Like, by no means. Like, you know, we're not called to just be complacent about sin. But I do think that when we allow sin to have more power than grace, that's when we create internal divisions within ourselves that separate and segregate us from God himself, from his people, from exploring his, you know, his scriptures and experiencing him in ways of worship and prayer and creation and revelation and all that kind of stuff. So I think, and again, it's because, I think it's because, and I spoke about this 2 weeks ago, I think it's because those things are known to us. You know, we can, I'm sure we could all, without thinking too hard, think of some things that are going on in our lives that are probably like, not great, right?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, of course. I'm so sorry. I forgot who I was with. You know, we've all got those things. And so they're known to us. And yet sometimes God's grace and his love and his mercy is so foreign because it's so unlike anything that we experience in this world that it feels intangible to us. And so, you know, sometimes we only speculate about the grace, but we know the power of our sin. And I think, you know, we need to remember that, you know, what scripture tells us about, you know, what Jesus did on the cross, and that it overcame the power of sin. It conquered the grave, and that in his death, all that separates, all that divides us from God was placed on his shoulders and died with him. And so when he rose again victorious, we too rise again victorious. And we need to stop conceptualizing that and actually internalizing it in ourselves and kind of going, no, this is truth and this is good and this is God. And this is the power that actually reaches beyond the things that I think would separate me from God and his people and his community. And like, I'm just aware that, you know, that was a big part of my story. And it took me years.
I don't think you're alone. Like, I have exactly the same story, and we've all worked in kids ministry or youth ministry. Like, when people are growing and developing and figuring out who they are and what they want to be, and this kind of shame culture that the church, like, they don't start hating on themselves, like,
just
naturally. They've gotten that from somewhere. Of what's okay and what's not. And I think we as Christians, like, it's tricky to kind of quantify how good of a Christian someone is you know, we don't know their prayer life, we don't know their Bible life, but we know what sins they're, like, what obvious sins they're doing. And so that's what we kind of pinpoint of, like, no, you're not a good Christian because you're doing this. I've seen this,
And I think that then transitions into the external divisions that we experience just in day-to-day life. Again, and I'll be careful not to jump into question two, but again, we can overemphasize the power of sin to the detriment of acknowledging the power of grace. And so, like, I find it interesting when the focus is on what you're doing wrong. And again, it's important. Like, it's important for us to acknowledge that and to seek to move beyond that. I don't want anyone to hear me say that, like, it's okay to just keep on going sinfully.
Yeah, but it's damaging, right? We see the damage of focusing too much on that. Yep. Like, we get it. We know. It's not, like you said before, it's not hard to figure out that we're sinful and we're broken. We keep failing and we're not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff, we get that really quickly. Yeah.
I wonder if there's also a cultural element to the problem with that prevent the kingdom reaching across divisions. Like, especially in Australia, like, I'm thinking of the kingdom being like the net that draws, like, all the different, you know, what did you call it?
Byproduct. Yeah. It's not a good thing.
Byproduct, yeah. So, you know, here it is, bycatch. So that's what we're trying to do. You know, the kingdom is like a net that draws all this in. But in Australia, you know, our paradigm of understanding the gospel and evangelism and how we draw people into the kingdom is much more fishing rod. You know, it's this individual kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like,
which
we
is
have
much
a very
more sustainable.
Yeah, sustainable in fishing.
The oceans, yeah.
However, for kingdom, different story. But, like, we have very much a private faith. If you're a Christian out there in the world, you know, your faith is your own, and you better believe you keep that to yourself. You keep your head down. You can practice your faith, the whole you do you, practice your faith, but it's not actually, you know, appreciated that you would actually have this net gathering, you know, everyone coming to the kingdom attitude. And so that's also something that prevents, you know, the net, the kingdom from stretching across the divisions, the fact that we're so highly individualized, you know, our faith is our own, we swim in our lane, you know, and so it's like, well, how do you love people into the kingdom? How do we become this expansive, gathering, inclusive, welcoming, you know, body of people who are, have arms open wide and drawing in all these different people, you know, no matter what sort of fish they are, and loving them so that they can meet the king and be under the rule of the king, you know?
And but now, Christians in 2022, we're also like we're working hard to go against the stereotypes of, you know, we do want to love everyone and all types of people, and we've got to – people's initial response to us would be, oh, they don't want to love me or they don't want to show me Jesus because of who I am or what I do or all that kind of stuff.
So we're judging reputation.
Yeah, we've got a hard job.
And it's because it's something that – the church has done.
Yeah.
Like, and so we're not starting from...
And doing.
And so we're not starting from a baseline. We're actually, like, the church has a lot of work to do to undo. Gosh, there are so many fish analogies coming out in this. You are so here for it.
We're all going to get those little fish stickers for our cars now.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, like, and yeah, I just find it, I find it interesting that, like, why is the conversation not on the thing that was of paramount importance to Jesus, which was meeting people where they were at, telling them the truth about the kingdom, telling them about the grace that was available to them, the love of the Father, and allowing that to be the transformative power that that bears fruit in people's lives.
Loving people into the kingdom rather than kind of just judging people into the kingdom.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, arguing on the comments section into the kingdom, which is never going
to
work.
I've actually
trying to hold them there with fear.
Like,
And there was a time, unfortunately, where that worked for the church. And so I think it's ridden those coattails a little bit too long. But I've actually written it up in my office because it was so simple a comment, but so powerful. But we had two of our missionaries, Brett and Gil Davis, here in our services on the weekend. And And I think it was Gil who said, like, we need to be the good news before we speak the good news. Mm. And I was like, gosh, like, we say that so often and it is so simple, but gosh, it's true. Mm. And because the good news was not, you know, fire and brimstone. Yeah. The good news was, hey, the kingdom of heaven is here and here to meet you and know you and welcome you in. Mm. And the kingdom of heaven is something with a far stretching reach that goes beyond divisions and it is ruled by a king who's full of love and grace and mercy and compassion.
Yeah. And you can get to know the king.
You can get to know the king and he's not divided from us. And like if we lived that, just in the way that we met people who are different than us, who have values that are different than us, who think differently, perceive things differently, have gone on a different journey. In my experience, that's where transformation occurs.
It's good stuff, man.
You know, I could go on about this for a long time.
Because I think we've all been burnt a little bit.
We're a little triggered. We're a little triggered. It's fine. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
But it's important that we talk about this. Yeah. And it's important that we acknowledge the journey that, you know, the church has been on and acknowledge its flaws at times and go to scripture and go, yep, okay, we deviated from Kingdom Reach a little bit. Yeah. Let's bring it back in. let's redirect.
Cast the net
throw
out.
Let's cast it. Yeah.
Throw it back out of
you. Yeah.
Get out of the box.
And let's be a part of that.
Fantastic. Well, we're about to move to question two, but before we do, we are about to launch a new podcast.
Ooh, one's just not enough. We want more.
We do want more. This is going to be called We Are the Church, and Adam and Brianna Aitken from our church are going to be hosting it. So get excited. Be ready for that. Here's a little bit about it.
I'm Adam and this is my beautiful wife, Brianna.
Hello, hello. We're the hosts of the We Are The Church podcast here at Guymere Baptist Church.
Throughout the podcast, you're going to hear and experience people's stories of faith and action to encourage, strengthen and inspire you.
Hear the real life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ.
So you know when we were always bumping into people at random, that's how we kind of came up with the story of this podcast, wasn't it?
It absolutely is. We often would be out and about and just start sparking up conversations with randoms.
Yep.
And we just felt so inspired after hearing people's stories, and often they would share with us their stories of where God had come through or they'd really seen Jesus at work in their lives. People who we didn't even share that we were Christians with, but God would put across our path to be able to hear and share in their amazing stories. If you or anybody you know has an amazing story of faith or a time where they've seen God at work in their lives, we would love to hear from you. These stories will be shared with the community here at Guymere Baptist Church through this podcast.
You can reach us at office@guymerebaptist.org.au. We'd really love to hear from you. So if you want to tell us your stories, make sure you hit us back on that email. We can't wait to share this podcast with you. Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying,
God bless and peace be with you.
So we are about to get into question number two. Matt, this is a fine line question here, so this is a balanced one. It's how do we avoid assuming the role of divine judge but also still hold others accountable?
Yeah.
Man.
And I think that's the tension, right? Yeah. Like that's where
how question one started.
But that's where a lot of people sit in fear.
Yeah.
Because I think you're right, Jess. Like I think everyone has experienced that division that comes from shame and guilt and judgment. And so we've experienced that hurt. We've had that burn. And we don't want to be the one to facilitate that in others. And so there's a fear of, well, you know, I want to be someone who, you know, iron sharpens iron, like, and that can't always be sunshine and daisies. Like that can't always be the things that feel good. Like sometimes there are going to be some things that hard and some honest conversations that we need to have, and sometimes there's going to be grappling with things and struggling over them and doubting even, like, what do we do with that, and what do we do with confession, because that is still really powerful. And Rox, I agree. I think, you know, in Australian culture we have this huge personalized faith where it's just me and God, and I keep it super, super tight chested and super close to myself. And there's power in confession with God, obviously. Mm. And I dare say that's paramount, but there's also power in confession.
We're not called to be community. We're not called to be alone. No. We're actually called to
live. No man is an island.
No, you can't Christian alone.
No.
It's not possible.
And there lies the tension, right? So, you know, we've all experienced where assuming the role of divine judge has really messed with maybe us or others that we know. But yet we also don't want a superficial surface level fellowship.
Yeah, I think we've gone the, well, I certainly have gone the other way of like, oh, I don't want to harm anyone or hurt them. Let them feel judged, so I'm just not going to mention anything.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want anyone to mention anything about me.
It's a two-way street. Yeah.
We'll just skip along and pretend nothing's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it actually ties into one of the principles in Plan A. So Belinda Lakeland, our evangelism
classic,
consultant.
Great content.
Classic, great content, great content.
Great plug.
This is for you, Belinda. and it's the second principle of knowing. Yeah. And how essential it is that that actually evangelism and by extension discipleship as well is best experienced and best implemented in established relationships. Yeah. And that's not just an access kind of thing, like, hey, Jess and I hang out, you know, as friends in our weeks. And so, If I'm going to be able to talk to anyone about faith or the things of faith, it'll probably be Jess. It's not just about the convenience of it and that we don't want people to feel like, oh, I've got to go out and like just preach to the masses. Mm. It's also about, you know, what relationships actually create for us. And I spoke about this on Sunday, like those key relationships are normally founded on equality and mutuality and an agreement that's either been said outwardly or is just known inwardly that it's a safe space and that vulnerability is something that is welcomed and allowed. Mm. And I think that's where correction and confession and accountability needs to exist. Mm-hmm. You know, and I kind of shared, you know, I've got people in my life, you know, I've got close friends who, you know, on a long drive, I'll just give a call and we'll just kind of debrief life. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's just about, you know, oh, you know, work is stressful or parenting is hard or whatever. And sometimes it's about, hey, this is what's going on for me with my faith. Mm. And they're the people who I have invited into that space and given permission to speak into that space. Mm. And so I've actually handed them like the authority to provide accountability
consent
to me. But legit though, consent. Yeah, like it's a big thing and it is powerful and important.
Yes.
And I think you're absolutely like you've actually hit it on the head. Because I think the issue is that when we forcibly place judgment on people without that consent, it becomes abuse. Mm-hmm. Like and it can very much become abuse because
you talked about bullying as well, which FYI
is abuse.
Yeah.
in case anyone was questioning that.
Maybe bullying seems a little milder than abuse, but both
it
are
seems
not
it,
ideal.
But it's not. Yeah. It's not. They're terrible things. Because if I don't have an established relationship with someone, then I don't know the journey that they've been on. Mm. I don't know the challenges that they have faced or continue to face. Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know their story.
Yeah, and if you're about to walk into a major trigger point.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And maybe this is pushing it too far, but I'm going to go there. So, like, you know, I used to work in child protection. My job was to go into people's homes and assess whether or not the parents were keeping their children safe. Yeah. So, like, big judgment, right? Yeah. Big judgment. Particularly, like, I was 21 at the time. Yeah. Like, heaps of authority on that subject. But I always found it super important that before I started hurling out the things of, hey, we've received information about X, Y, Z, that it was always important to start that meeting. And it was a meeting. You were meeting these people for the first time. They didn't know you. You didn't know them. Tell me what's been going on lately.
Yeah.
Tell me what's been going on for you. What are you going through? How are you struggling? Why do you think I'm here? And that was always it's still a short period of time. We weren't best friends by the end of that conversation for obvious reasons. But there was something important about being able to then kind of go, well, hey, like you've shared this and I'm here to actually tell you that like we've heard about that and we're concerned about it. But you might be concerned about it too. And actually based on what you've shared, it sounds like you are. And there was – we were able to kind of collaborate on that. And I actually think that's a similar context. It's a similar atmosphere and intentionality that we need for that space of where do we correct, where do we keep accountable?
Yeah.
The question is like that I think I would be asking if you're like, oh, should I correct this person? Like, do you know how their week's been? Do you know what they've been, what's been going on for them this last month?
Yeah.
Like, if you could, can you list off the top three big stresses that are going on in their life this year? And if the answer's no to those questions, you're probably not the right person to jump in and be like, listen, I've noticed that you've not been at church for a month or that, you know, your tongue has been, you know, dropping some
loosey-goosey.
whatever it is, I've heard X, Y, Z about, you know, how you spend your spare time. Like that's unhelpful. And so, I really think it's, you know, how do we avoid assuming the role of divine judge but still hold others accountable? Consent. You know, have you been given permission to enter into that space and that relationship? And if you haven't, ask. You don't have to just turn around and be like, oh, well, you know, I've answered those questions. I don't know what's going on for them. I don't know. Then ask. If you actually care enough that you want to hold someone accountable because you want what's best for them, then put in the work and kind of go, hey, can we grab coffee? And in that first coffee, this might sound crazy or controversial, don't launch into your list of things that you've noticed.
It's an unusual tactic.
Crazy, mind-boggling. But like, hey, how are you? Hey, we've never had an opportunity to chat. I'd love to get to know you a little bit more. And be intentional about that relationship. And I guarantee that as time passes and you invest in them time and your emotional and spiritual and mental, you know, space to be present for them and to be someone who listens to them and seeks to understand them, then you will probably find yourself in a position where you can at some point go, hey, we've been talking for a while. You've shared a lot with me. Can I share with you something? Something that I've noticed, something that I'm worried about, something that I hope you can take as a desire to support you and not to just tear you down. If you like, because, you know, I've heard from time to time, you know, people say that, you know, we judge because we love. If you really love, if you really, really have someone in your life that you want to know Jesus and want to be transformed by Jesus, then you surely are willing to put in the time to actually get to the point where you might be able to hold someone accountable.
Yeah,
that's good, Matt.
Because otherwise you might be holding them accountable to things that they have actually not even – that they don't even hold themselves accountable to, you know. And I think that's also where we assume the role of divine judge.
I don't I don't know about you guys. I'm not heaps great with my words, so any kind of conversation, even if it's with someone that I love dearly, I just don't see that going well. Mm. And if I look back on my relationships, probably the most fruitful relationship in terms of me kind of reflecting on myself is having a friend that mirrors Jesus and kind of that motivating me.
It's be the good news before you speak it.
Your life, you've got it together a little bit more than me. Where am I going wrong? And maybe then I bring that to them and say that you're not doing this or you're not struggling with this. I am. Can you kind of guide me through that?
Yeah.
I haven't had a conversation besides high school where someone sat down and be like, you suck at this, and it go well.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Surprised. Surprised. Yeah.
So for myself, I'm not good enough to be able to sit down and go like, I've noticed this. I love you. And this is why I'm pointing it out.
Yeah.
Trying instead to be the person who kind of mirrors that for people or motivates people into that. Which I'm also not good at, but I think it's maybe a better tactic.
Yeah. We don't tend to do it well. I think the key things that you've kind of picked up there is there needs to be a structure in that. It needs to either be sort of a, you know, a relational structure, like, you know, if somebody reports to you, it's easier in terms of lines of authority or they've given consent and permission and you've established this long-term relationship which is marked by care and love and deep compassion and the desire for good in the other. Mm. Like that's massively key. The whole we talked about the discipleship contexts a little bit ago as well.
It's the you and the few.
There it is yet again. And you've given them, as you said, permission to speak.
And you and a few is, what is it? It's where we, I think it's encourage and challenge.
And challenge.
And so you can challenge in that space.
And that's where transformation occurs. Mm. You know, like transformation doesn't occur when things are going great. You know, it just doesn't. You know, like no one really learnt too big a life issues when things are swimming along.
Yeah,
you learn in the furnace.
Yeah.
You learn, you know, like when you're in the desert and the wilderness, you know, doing the hard yards. That's where you grow and that's where you're stretched. And so it's actually a positive thing.
Yeah.
But we kind of tend not to look at it like
that. We get scared, yeah.
Yeah, we do. We 100% do. The other thing I think too in that, Matt, is you're talking about doing that for someone else, and I think you did flag this in your message, that you actually have people that speak into your own life.
Yeah.
So there's very much a, you know, we aren't the be-all, end-all for anybody else. We actually have to be... as you gave an example, having people speak into our lives as well.
Absolutely. No one is exempt.
No, exactly. It doesn't matter who you are. Mm. You know, you need to have people speaking into your life and give them permission to challenge you, et cetera, on that. So balance between humility and hubris, I think, is kind of where we want to sit. You need to be so humble, but also that little bit of, okay, well, I feel the voice of God just ask me to press into this and having a little bit of that hubris to kind of press in.
Yeah, and I think, you know, allowing space for people to explore, you know, the spirit-led conviction.
Yeah.
And that takes, like, that takes time to kind of
maturity
mull
and,
over and reflect on. You don't just have this moment where it's like, oh, the spirit just told me that I'm doing X, Y, Z wrong. Like it's kind of like a, oh, like... Mm-hmm. I'm dissatisfied with how things are, or I've got a yearning for something that's more and a hunger, and how do I, like, what is stopping me from getting there, and I'm trying to put my finger on it. That takes time and, you know, that might be where the conversation starts before we kind of launch into the things that you do and the things that you don't.
So good.
Delightful. All right, let's get stuck into question three. So your third point of the beautiful third point, 3-point sermon, Matt, was
thank you.
It's not our job to be the divine judge, although some of us like to take up that role. It's our job to kind of keep searching and striving and looking for these revelations from God and discovering more of his kingdom. So where do we need to be looking for the new little mysteries that are hidden within our everyday lives?
Yeah, I think because obviously like Jesus kind of throws out almost a parable. It's not quite a parable, but he kind of throws out this like one liner, just this banger at the end of the passage. And because I'm not prepared, I didn't bring my Bible with me, but I'm pretty sure it's something along the lines of a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who
has a storeroom,
brings out treasures.
She's finished Bible college. She knows, you know, and draws out new treasures and old.
If you're a teacher of the law, bring it.
And you know,
yes, I also knew that.
Yes, of course. Yeah, Christians. You know, and I think I don't want to devalue the old. Like those old treasures, those journeys that we've been on, those lessons that we've learned, those experiences that we've had and maybe even shared, because those are powerful. Like they're the stepping stones that we have walked across to get to where we are today, whoever you are, wherever you are. And one of my favorite things, you know, I've shared before, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Like faith was not something that became a real thing for me until I was 17. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is officially half my life, where I wasn't, you know, walking with the Lord. And yet one of my favorite things is to look back and kind of go, man, those first 17 years, like God was doing some crazy things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we used to go away to, you know, 7 Mile Beach down in Jarrow every year, and SUFM, Scripture Union Family Mission, was there the 2 weeks we were always there. So I would always go to that program, this Christian program.
Wow.
And like for my parents, they were like, free babysitting. Yes. Heck yes.
Sweet.
We're going out for brunch and I'm there doing craft about, you know, this God who I knew nothing about.
Love the Lord your God.
Yes.
With a guitar on the beach. Hello.
Banger. It's a banger. So, you know, that stuff, you know, the fact that I ended up coming to faith by going to a Christian youth camp in the school holidays, which I had no idea was a Christian youth camp, and I was invited by someone who had absolutely no faith, and my life was like, it's just, you know, the old treasures, they're good. They're good treasures. And it's super important that we take time to kind of look back and go, oh man, God is good. Mm. And yes, he's at work and far out, he's done some crazy things. And it just demonstrates to me, and this is the thing that I love kind of reflecting on, like God, he loves me. Like he loves me. Mm-hmm. And look, like I can just see it. I can just see how he was so intent on finding me and drawing me out, casting the net and drawing me out. And I think the need for the new is that is not that the old lacks value or becomes unimportant, but I think the need for the new stops us from getting complacent and comfortable and happy with routine and where we are.
Resting
on our laurels, yes.
Yeah.
And so where we look for the new mysteries is in the things that we've never considered before.
Mm.
I'm all for, like, I'm a mad creature of habit. Mm. So like if I find something that works for me, like I've ordered the same thing from McDonald's for my entire life. Like medium quarter pounder with Coke, thanks. Like that's what I know is good. Like that's the treasure I found. Yeah. It's good.
For me, it's the Mango Magica Boost. I'm not trying anything else.
No, oh, really? No, right?
Ooh. Don't even waste my time.
Okay,
so routine can be good. Habits can be good. But I think we also need to kind of be looking around at our lives and kind of going, but what am I, like, what is different to what kind of sits within what I know? And where can I kind of step into the different? Something that was super profound for me, particularly when it came to my prayer life and my experience of prayer, was having conversations with people who had very different ways of praying to me. And spending time in prayer with those people and kind of experiencing it and kind of testing it and giving myself permission to kind of be like, this feels weird, this feels different and uncomfortable, and this feels like nothing I've ever experienced before. I'm gonna lean into it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I walked away from those experiences, whether it was prayer or something else, and kind of goes, yeah, that's not for me. Yeah. God is not speaking to me in that space. Mm-hmm. That is not a practice that I think will work for me. But I can tell you, you know, for every time that I walked away with that kind of response, I've also equally walked away with the response of, man, I just learned something. I just experienced something profound. Mm-hmm. That has changed the way that I do this, that, and the other. And again, I think that speaks into the power of community. Like this is the role of God's people, not one person, right? Mm. And so where we get to share the things that we do, the things that we know of God, the way that we experience him, And when we learn from each other, we get to experience the new. You know, there are people who you know, they find revelation in Scripture. They open up that book and every single time they see something new and profound and transformative. I'm not one of those people, like real talk. I am not. Like Scripture is work for me. I have to work at it.
Yeah.
But for me, like revelation in God's creation, oofed. Like, yeah, like I'm there for it.
Speak to me, Lord.
Speak to me, Lord. You know, the heavens declare your wonder. Like, heck yes. Yeah. So like, but you know, I think of Mark Rader, our senior pastor, who is very much one of those people who receives revelation in the word. Like, we learn from each other. Like I learn from him and I'd like to think he learns from me. Maybe I'm just kind of, you know, I'll just say that.
Sure,
he's not here to he's not here to rebuke that. But, you know, there's an opportunity for us to learn from each other.
From different people's perspectives and their churchmanship and their spiritual love language. All of it.
And so I think that's where community is really imperative. You know, how do we go looking for the new mysteries?
Yeah, don't rest on what you had.
Yeah.
You know, like seek after, you know, like, you know, seek first the kingdom of God, you know, and all these things will be added to you and his righteousness. Like I was thinking as you were talking about that, that Jesus says, or God says, his mercies are new every morning. So God is a God of the new, you know, God is a God of, you know, sing to the Lord a new song. You know, he's doing a new thing. There's, you know, the Lord has this sense of, you know, creation and recreation, this sense of newness. And for us to treasure the old that are in the storeroom, but also to bring out, you know, the new, it aligns with the character of God.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is what, you know, you look at the entire New Testament is, you know, what they were doing is looking back at the storehouse of Scripture, this, you know, the storehouse of the Old Testament, and they were bringing out what was understood in one way to be, you know, for then. And then all of a sudden they were taking that and going, actually, you know what, this is actually about Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, even in their growing as a church, you know, to be bringing out the storehouse of Scripture, treasures new and old. So we can do that in Scripture. We can do that in our lives. We can do it in our relationships.
In our spiritual practices.
And continue to make sure that we're looking for what it is that God is doing anew and afresh every day.
So I think it starts by just having an attitude that is willing to lean in. I think we have such a fear of failure. And in particular, when it comes to faith, like we can be so petrified that people might perceive us as not knowing what we're doing, that we try nothing.
Like the disciples, do you understand?
Yes. Bless them. No, I love them. I love the disciples.
Yes, we got every one of that. What are you saying again?
But gosh, just lean in and really let go of that fear of failure, because I've had plenty of times where I've kind of stepped into something that's different, a little bit outside of the box, because I'm looking, I'm exploring, and I've walked away and been like, epic fail. And that's that's okay. That's not because God didn't want to speak to me, that I'm not doing it right, or whatever.
Wasn't for you.
Whatever thing we tell ourselves that make us feel less than, it's not that. It's just that God creates us to be, you know, different and unique, and he is different and unique. And when those two things meet, they just meet in different ways. And so just lean in, give it a crack. And sometimes you might find something incredible, and on the times that you don't, you tried and you actually sought after God, and he looks at that and says,
seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Well done, good and faithful servant.
Exactly.
Like, you
we're
know,
told to do that.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Like, yeah, that didn't work. That was
I don't
you.
Think God's up there going, well, you shouldn't have tried seeking me in that way.
Yeah.
You know, like that's not the heart of God.
I think he just,
the heart of God is blessed and loves it. You know, it's like you're a dad, you know, you're a parent. You're actually, we're all parents now. You know, when your child comes and seeks you, you and they want your opinion and they want to see you and they want something from you. Like, your heart as a parent is not to go, oh, nah, you know, it's actually, woohoo, you know, here I am. Yep. I want to, you know, love on you. I want to invest in you. I want you to grow. I want you to be all you can be. And that father heart of God, that parent heart of God is what's happening. So when we do seek after the Lord and we're, you know, looking, okay, what is it you're doing afresh? Like, that's going to bless God in a particular way, and then we will also be blessed.
Yeah.
So don't be fearful.
Yeah.
You know, because you know who it is you're seeking.
Yeah.
You know the character of God, the heart of God. Mm. You know, perfect love drives out fear. Yeah. And God is perfect love.
It's good. It's good. And can I just say one last thing?
Yes.
Oh, I think I've just lost it. Oh. No, I think I've got it. I think sometimes our hesitation to lean into the new is a fear that it will mean that the gospel comes crumbling down if we do it wrong. Can we just remember that God is bigger than that?
Yeah, it's not about us, you mean?
Yeah, crazy.
And no question we have has not been asked before. Like, we're not new and original.
Yeah.
So, like, God will do what God wants to do, and he will use our fumblings and our stumblings and our failures, and we just need to be willing, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah. Delightful point to end on. It got real motivational, then it got real. I loved it. Well done, Matthew.
Thanks, friend.
Look, you're a man of many hats. Did very well. All right, well, catch you later.
I'll leave now. Okay, goodbye.
So, Rox, what are your vibes? What are your thoughts? Anything stand out?
It was good, wasn't it?
It was good.
It was big conversation. Oh, that whole thing about consent, which actually wasn't Matt, it was you, in fact, actually. Well,
it's
done.
It's just on my mind, you know? Yes.
That was, I think that's really insightful, and just how that that impacts all our relationships, you know, in the church and the ability that we have to speak into one another and to, you know, to build one another up in love. Oh, that was really good.
Yeah, I thought he had a real nugget of wisdom in question one, saying like we can only kind of guess at what the grace of God is like, but we really know our own faults and failures.
Yeah,
and so we tend to focus more on that. And so when other people kind of point that out to us, we're like, yeah, I know,
I suck kind of thing,
So kind of just guessing at that grace, but trying to surround ourselves, I suppose, with people who remind us of that and focusing more on that, learning more about that.
The grace and goodness of God.
Yeah, for sure. Delightful.
But so good. All round good chats. Combo.
Well, thanks so much, Rox, for stepping into my role. You did a delightful
thank
job.
Thank you.
And we'll be back next week. If you guys want to be a part of the conversation, make sure you're there at one of our services on Sunday and you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. Thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small and no question too big.